This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The girlfriend speaks. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, October 5th. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Saying she knew Las Vegas gunman Stephen Paddock as a kind and caring man, the woman who lived with him released a statement through her attorney.
The internet has tracked down another hero from the massacre in Vegas. Hear about the guy known initially as simply the man in the red hat.
There's been a deadly ambush of U.S. special forces while on routine patrol in the African country of Niger.
And from Washington, in its attempt to rewrite the complicated tax code, will Congress touch deductions known as sacred cows?
We're far enough into this tax debate where there are things that are totally off the table. And things that we didn't look at in this is, you know, 401k plans. One example is something that's really large and is not likely to go anywhere, and that's the ability to have employer-sponsored health insurance that's tax-free.
Wall Street Journal tax writer Richard Rubin on sacred cows. The girlfriend of the Las Vegas shooter said she will cooperate with investigators. Authorities see 62-year-old Marilou Danley as the key to understanding the motives behind Sunday's massacre. Ms. Danley said through her lawyer that she returned to the U.S. voluntarily to help with the investigation into an attack by Stephen Paddock that so far has resulted in 59 fatalities, including his own. A statement was read by her lawyer, Matthew Lombard.
I knew Stephen Paddock as a kind, caring, quiet man.
Meanwhile, Clark County Sheriff Joseph Lombardo described the final moments before Mr. Paddock killed himself.
I believe because of his countermeasures placed in the peephole in the hallway, he observed the security guard, and he was in fear that he was about to be breached. So he was doing everything possible to figure out how he could escape at that point.
Investigators also say Mr. Paddock had wired tens of thousands of dollars to Ms. Danley in the Philippines, a trip he encouraged her to take. President Trump has paid a visit to hospital bedsides and a police base in Las Vegas, offering prayers and condolences to the victims of the mass shooting. During his four-hour stopover, he also offered thanks to first responders and doctors who rushed to save lives.
The people of Nevada and the extraordinary city have shown the world their incredible character, courage, and resolve.
He declared that the country is a nation in mourning. Sunday's rampage killed 59 people and injured approximately 500.
We cannot be defined by the evil that threatens us or the violence that incites such terror.
An 18-year-old high school student, by the way, from Santa Ana, California, named Tiffany Huizar, is recovering from bullet wounds in the stomach and elbow. She said the president was very comforting and like a father figure. Said she felt a lot of people have negative views about him from his Twitter post, but he was absolutely a different guy today in the hospital. As investigators fill in the details of Stephen Paddock's rampage during that country music festival along the Las Vegas Strip, doctors, nurses, and paramedics are recounting injuries they say are rarely seen in this country, and even the most veteran of medical professionals say it was difficult to process. The Washington Post spoke to some of those at Ground Zero. Here's health reporter Lena Sun. Lena, what did you hear?
There was so much blood that this one trauma nurse was slipping and sliding while she was trying to take care of her patient. And as anybody knows, blood has a smell, and she said the air smelled like iron.
Wow.
So you get a sense of what it was like as these folks tried to triage the patients as quickly as possible, get the sickest people treated, get them in the order of like most critical to least critical, trying to get the supplies, getting people to take care of kids to take care of adults, having obstetricians jump in, and luckily, because there were some Air Force surgeons who were there doing training, the surgeons recognized that a lot of these wounds were more similar to what you see on the battlefield.
Goodness.
And those guys were asked to help.
Wow.
So all hospitals have to deal with these mass, you know, casualty incidents, or they're ready for them. But, you know, obviously they were dealing with so many more here.
Mm-hmm. One line in the story, too, jumps out. You said, your colleagues say, yeah, even the hardiest medical professionals acknowledged being rattled. It's almost hard to imagine, because these, I mean, we rely on these folks so much.
Right. I think what is going on here is the other thing that your audience might want to know is, you know, these are not just typical gunshot wounds. These are wounds from bullets that were fired at high velocity. So the difference from a bullet that's fired from a typical 9mm handgun is very different from when you're firing with a semi-automatic. The semi-automatic, that bullet travels 3 times faster than the bullet that's fired from a handgun.
Mm.
And, you know, this is physics, right? So the energy of that bullet, if it's stopped in your body, then your body has to absorb all the damage. And one trauma surgeon explained to me, if a 9mm bullet, like from a handgun, hits you in the liver, it might maybe cause a wound maybe an inch wide. But if you're hit in the liver with an AR-15, it would be like dropping a watermelon onto the cement. It just is disintegrated.
Goodness.
So as these bullets travel through your body, it's not just where it goes in and where it comes out. It creates this shock wave as it goes through your body. So it damages the tissue all around it, like spreading out. And when you damage the tissue, you also basically shred all your blood vessels. And then you lose the blood supply to that entire area. And when this bullet exits your body, it's not a little tiny hole. It might be 6 inches wide. Blood is pouring out, and also chunks of flesh and bone. So it is very difficult, as from a surgeon's perspective, to close that wound. You need multiple operations.
Mm.
And then you have the risk of infection, because the tissue that's been contaminated, all the blood vessels are dead.
Yeah.
The white blood cells that have to go deal with the immune response can't get there. You know, there's no blood vessel expressway to get there. So there's risk of infection, and that's why it's so serious.
We're speaking with Lena Sun, health reporter at The Washington Post. Her and the team put together a story called As the Wounded Kept Coming, Hospitals Dealt with Injuries Rarely Seen in the U.S., talking about the massacre in Las Vegas Sunday night. In the story, too, it talks about survival generally depends on several factors. Can you explain those?
Well, I mean, a lot of it has to do with, like, where you are, the position of the body when it was hit, how far you are from the weapon, and as I mentioned before, the velocity of the bullet and the type used is very critical, and the location of the entry wound and the path the bullet follows before it exits. You know, it might not exit. So In this case, it was extremely bad for the victims, because they were in that open space. They were lying down trying to avoid the gunshot. The guy was shooting from above. The bullet was moving very fast. It's a high velocity, and he had, you know, made up the gun so they could be like automatic. So it was very hard to hide, and you had a lot of direct entry wounds into the body.
Thanks, Lena. It's health reporter Lena Sun from The Washington Post. I must say, that is arguably the most graphic interview I've done in, I think, my 12 years here. 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us, and we're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL. To talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. There's been a deadly ambush of American troops in the African country of Niger. Officials say 5 soldiers from Niger and 3 U.S. Army Green Berets were killed and 2 wounded while on a joint patrol in the southwest part of the country near the border with Mali. More from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
A U.S. official told Reuters that 5 U.S. Army Special Forces were attacked in an area known to have a presence of terrorists, including ones from an Al-Qaeda branch and Islamic State. Those forces reportedly were not patrolling the area with any specific objective, such as a high-value target or rescuing a hostage. African security forces backed by Western troops are stepping up efforts to counter jihadist groups forming part of a growing regional insurgency. The U.S. Africa Command has hundreds of soldiers deployed across the region. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Some U.S. soldiers are at an air facility in Agadez. They offer training and support to Niger's army in aspects such as intelligence gathering and surveillance. It's 20 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, those seeking to know the motive of the Las Vegas gunman Stephen Paddock have had little more to chase than hints and shadows. Paddock led such a low-key private life that no one seemed to know him well, and those who did had no sense he was capable of the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. Sheriff Joseph Lombardo says authorities do believe Paddock wanted to escape his hotel room, not kill himself.
I believe because of his countermeasures placed in the peephole and in the hallway, he observed the security guard, and he was in fear that he was about to be breached. So he was doing everything possible to figure out how he could escape at that point.
Paddock's girlfriend, Mary Lou Danley, told investigators she had no knowledge of Paddock's plans and that she's fully cooperating with the FBI. She called Paddock a kind, caring, quiet man. As the gun control debate heats up, some congressional Republicans say they are willing to consider legislation banning bump stocks, devices that allow a semi-automatic rifle to act as a fully automatic weapon. The bill will be introduced by Senator Dianne Feinstein of California.
Our bill is simple and straightforward. Ban manufacturing or possession of accessories that accelerate a semi-automatic rifle's rate of fire to that of an automatic.
Yesterday, President Trump visited patients in their hospital rooms before meeting separately with law enforcement officials and commending them for a rapid response that prevented even more casualties. New worries along the Gulf Coast as a tropical depression that's likely to develop into a hurricane-strength storm is forecast to hit the U.S. sometime over the weekend. Currently located off the coast of Nicaragua, the storm is expected to gather strength and could make landfall Sunday somewhere along the coasts of Mississippi, Alabama, or the Florida Panhandle. Reliever Archie Bradley hit a triple in the seventh inning, driving in two runs as the Diamondbacks beat the Rockies 11-8 in the National League wild card game last night. Adam Amin had the call on ESPN Radio.
Fly ball well hit, left center field, back towards the wall, it is to the bottom of the wall! Lamb scores! Descalso scores! Bradley to third! A 2-run triple!
Arizona moves on to the NLDS to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers.
The last time this guy had a hit like that was probably, what, in high school? When he was nine?
That was a great call. He sounded pretty excited.
He did. A relief pitcher comes in, has to go to bat, and hits a 2-run triple.
That's good.
Must be the playoffs. 23 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Some 43% of American adults who carry credit card debt have been carrying a balance for at least 2 years. A new study finds that's about 29 million people. Americans ages 63 to 71, the most likely age group to carry a balance for those 2 years. Here's how one family tackled their debt from MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna. Maria, set this up.
I was looking at, you know, I do write pretty frequently about debt. And, you know, what's interesting is we're seeing a lot of credit card debt at this point, which is really unfortunate. Even as the economy is improving, people still have these large credit card bills. And I was looking at a study that said most people have a balance for 2 years or more, or not most, sorry, 43% of people say that they've had a balance for 2 years or more. And so I was, you know, looking at ways to actually change that and get out of that. And I talked to a family, you know, a woman who had really that exact profile. She had had the debt for more than 2 years, and she had a full-time job, but she was, you know, still facing this $20,000 credit card bill and was trying to come up with ways to get rid of it. And she kind of had a reckoning and was like, you know, I don't want to live with this debt anymore. A lot of people just take it for granted that that's everyone's walking around with debt, but I don't want to do it anymore. And so she started to just really increase her income. She was consulting in sales and marketing, was taking on more clients. And as she did that, she just threw small amounts of money at the debt. She said, you know, on one of her first bills, she could only pay an extra $20. But then as she was able to increase her income, she'd find an extra $50 in her budget and then a little bit more and a little bit more. And eventually she was able to start putting thousands of dollars toward the debt and paid it all off. But, you know, she really started with some of those baby steps.
Boy, that takes a lot of discipline and a real commitment sometimes, doesn't it?
It does, yes. And I was talking to her about that, and, you know, I we were saying, how do you keep your head up? Because a lot of people just feel like the ultimate number is just too big and it's never going to go down. But she said, you know, just try to quiet that voice that feels overwhelmed and just start with where you are, with what you have, and just at least start putting small amounts toward it, and you'll start to see the balance get smaller.
We're speaking with MarketWatch personal finance writer Maria LaMagna about her piece called "This Woman Paid Off $20,000 in Debt by Making a First Payment of $20. I thought it was interesting, too, this surprising conclusion about how many Americans who have credit card debt for a long time actually are educated and work full time, but are still rolling it up.
Exactly. And I think maybe that's just sort of a feeling of, oh, it's not a big deal. I feel stable. I'm always able to pay it off, which for some people might work, but it's certainly risky to do that because, you know, you never know when something's going to happen. You know, maybe you'll have a medical emergency, or maybe you'll unfortunately get laid off from your job, or something will happen and, you know, you won't have had the cushion of knowing that you're always paying off your bill. So, you know, it is risky to have that debt hanging over your head when you just never know what life is going to bring you.
MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Glad you could be with us on this Thursday, October 5. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Girlfriend of the Las Vegas gunman says she's willing to help investigators. Trump pays a visit to survivors and first responders in Vegas. Three Army Green Berets killed in an ambush in Niger. Fresh off his touchdown celebration for Black Power, Panthers quarterback Cam Newton seems to have an issue with female journalists. Radiohead, Judas Priest, and the Moody Blues up for nomination to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the Red Hat Hero from the Vegas shooting. That story in about 20 minutes. Republican plans for a big tax overhaul hinge on how far the White House and Congress are willing to go in eliminating or reining in popular tax breaks, sometimes known in Washington as the sacred cows of the tax code. But what's on the table and what's not? Here's Wall Street Journal tax policy writer Richard Rubin. Rich, what did you look at?
So we looked at four tax breaks that have been around for a long time, and that are the obvious ways, if you're looking to find money to lower tax rates, are places that you would go. But obviously, sometimes these things are in tax code for a reason, and people get used to them. And so that makes it really tricky and difficult to get rid of them.
You think that, is it fair to say every tax break is on the table now as possible for getting cut?
No, conceptually that's the case, but it's actually not. We're far enough into this tax debate where there are things that are totally off the table. And things that we didn't look at in this is, you know, 401k plans, but in this video we talked about one example, something that's really large and is not likely to go anywhere, and that's the ability to have employer-sponsored health insurance that's tax-free. So when your employer pays you $1,000 in wages, then you pay taxes on that, of course, right? But if your employer pays you $1,000 in health insurance, then you don't pay taxes on that. But everyone loves that, except for economists. And so it's not likely to go anywhere.
So how does that get managed in a debate, for example? Because there are some lawmakers who would be in favor of getting rid of that?
That one, no. That one is absolutely, you know, the health insurance one is they sort of talked about it earlier, capping it, but it's pretty well baked into the system.
So what actually is available then that's going to cause some controversy?
So one that's being talked about a lot on Capitol Hill right now is the state and local tax deduction. That's if you have property taxes or income taxes from your local and state governments, you can deduct them from your federal income. That's the biggest Republican idea, but it's because it raises more than $1 trillion they would use to lower tax rates. That's plausible, but it also is challenging for them because the Republicans have enough members from New York and New Jersey and California where that deduction is really important to a lot of people, particularly on property taxes. And so lawmakers are engaged right now in this debate about whether they can keep fully repeal that or they have to do something short of that, which would raise less money to lower tax rates than they might initially want.
What about mortgage interest?
So mortgage interest and the deduction for charity are not going anywhere, but they are. And let me explain. So what they're proposing to do is nearly double the standard deduction, and that's to make and that means you, as a married couple, you'd have to get over $24,000 of deductions to be able to itemize. And most people are really not going to get there. Most people don't get there at the current levels of $12,700 for a married couple, and $24,000 without being able to deduct state taxes. You have to have a pretty big mortgage or give a lot to charity to get over that threshold. Mm-hmm. So it's not that those breaks are going away. They would just be really limited to people who are have really large mortgages and or are making really large donations to charity.
Right. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal tax policy writer Richard Rubin. His piece is called Talking Taxes, the Sacred Cows of the Tax Code. As you point out, that's really where the big money is, right? I mean, if you're going to make a dent, it's things like home mortgage interest, state and local taxes, the health insurance you mentioned.
Yeah, these are the things we look at here are absolutely the largest ones, the ones that where there's the most potential to raise money from. There's obviously other ways you could do it. You could have, you know, additional, revenue sources like a value-added tax. There's other ways to come at this, but this idea of broadening the base, that is taxing, getting rid of tax breaks and lowering tax rates, is the core of what they're trying to do. And what they've seen so far is that it's really challenging to try to get at some of these larger tax breaks.
For the high tax states, like you mentioned before, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California, would those residents be able to be sold on something else inside the tax code if they were to lose something like being able to deduct state and local taxes?
Hard to know. I mean, some of them will benefit from lower rates, but some won't. Some will ultimately come out paying more in this plan. That's one of the challenges of any sort of tax reform, is you do have winners and losers. And, you know, the fact that they're going for a net tax cut means that there will be more winners than losers, but there will still be losers in this, and that's going to be a real challenge for them politically to make sure that there are enough winners so that they can get 218 votes in the House and 50 in the Senate.
Thanks, Rich. Wall Street Journal tax writer Richard Rubin. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username at Gordon Deal. Thanks for being with us on this Friday eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, whether or not you think that playing the lottery is a good use of your money or not, one thing is for certain. If you do play, it's probably a good idea to check your tickets to see if you actually won. That fatal mistake almost cost one British man a chance to be a millionaire. Martin Crichton was reading a story in his local paper recently about how the winner of a £1 million jackpot had yet to come forward a month after the winning numbers were drawn. That story reminded Martin that he had purchased a Euro Millions ticket but hadn't fully checked the numbers. He went searching for the ticket, but it wasn't easy to find. After frantically searching his usual hiding spots, he finally found the winning ticket tucked behind receipts and business cards right in his wallet. Martin said he will continue to work following the windfall, but plans to buy a new home with his winnings.
Wow.
£1 million.
How much did he beat the deadline by?
Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know, but
because you can miss it, right? I think at least some parts here in the U.S., like you have a year, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it only took him a month, so I think he probably had some time. But okay. I can imagine just sitting there in his wallet the entire time.
That is somebody who's not used to winning, by the way.
Right.
Since I only play when it's like, you know, $4 billion,
right.
I religiously check at like 11:01.
Right. Right, exactly.
Planning to spend my earnings.
Yeah, he says he does play a lot, but I'm guessing, like you said, he hasn't won or hasn't won big. So, yeah, good for him.
Wow.
And following up on a story we told you about last month, the Mad Pooper is still at large, Gordon.
The who? I'm sorry.
The Mad Pooper.
Oh, the Mad Pooper.
Yes. But that doesn't mean you should be pestering police with questions about it. You'll remember the story of the Mad Pooper went viral after citizens in one Colorado neighborhood called police to report the jogger with little regard for where she went number two. Apparently, the woman still hasn't been identified, and a spokesman with the Colorado Springs Police Department reportedly told a Deadspin reporter to stop calling them about it, though a lieutenant in the department denies that that's the case. Police say that while they understand the bathroom humor behind the story, they want to determine if the female jogger has mental health issues, and if so, get her any help that she needs. They also say they are still searching for the mysterious woman, and that since the story broke, there haven't been any additional man pooping incidents. Now, this wasn't just a one-time deal. I don't think you were here that day. Jen and I discussed this. Thoroughly disgusted her with this story.
Yes.
But apparently this happened like 7 times.
I saw that, yeah. And this is going to sound sexist, but it's probably true. Like, this is something I think you would normally associate with a guy doing.
Super disgusting things,
yes.
We generally associate with men.
With
yes,
men.
I would agree with you on that.
Well, we're piggish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but this is just a truly bizarre story.
Yes.
I would agree with that. Well, here's to hoping they catch the Mad Pooper, as you call her.
As I call her. That's what the world is
calling
her.
Well, no, you said it 90 times in the story. It just seemed like you like saying that
phrase. Until we find out who she is, that's her name.
Unless you're just some sort of sensationalist journalist who likes to present these stories.
You know me.
13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Turning down the noise so you can get the facts. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
As is common, there's been a spike in music sales in the wake of a performer's death. The day after Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Tom Petty died, his greatest hits topped the iTunes and Amazon Music charts on Tuesday. Moneyish.com says his greatest hits collection was the top-selling album on iTunes Tuesday morning. His 1990 hit Free Fallin' hit number 6 on the iTunes Songs chart with Mary Jane's Last Dance, I Won't Back Down, and You Don't Know How, also making the top 20 songs. 7 Petty albums, including Wildflowers and Damn the Torpedoes, made the top 20 Amazon best-selling albums list. Music sales spiking in the wake of an artist's death are common. When Linkin Park frontman Chester Bennington died in July, the rap metal band's U.S. music sales jumped more than 5,000% over 24 hours. That 5,000% number was also the same for Glenn Campbell when he died. And Prince sold nearly 3.5 million albums and songs in the days after his death in April of last year. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the gunman in the Las Vegas massacre spent decades amassing weapons and had rented a room overlooking another music festival in the city the previous weekend. Sheriff Joseph Lombardo says Stephen Paddock led such a secretive life, much of it remains unknown 4 days after he killed 58 people. Authorities also believe Paddock may have had help planning the attack, but his girlfriend, Mary Lou Danley, said she knew nothing of Paddock's plans. Her attorney, Matthew Lombard, read a statement.
We are fully cooperating with the FBI and the Las Vegas Police Department about these horrible, unspeakable acts of violence.
Police also found 50 pounds of explosives and 1,600 rounds of ammunition in Paddock's car in the Mandalay Bay Hotel parking lot. There was also a note in his hotel room, but it was not a suicide note. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says he hasn't contemplated resigning and praised President Trump's foreign policy, calling the president smart. Tillerson spoke in the State Department's treaty room yesterday to deny longstanding rumors about his possible resignation. He was asked if he called Trump a moron, as reported by NBC.
I'm not going to deal with petty stuff like that. I mean, this is what I don't understand about Washington. Again, you know, I'm not from this place. But the places I come from, we don't deal with that kind of petty nonsense.
The former Exxon CEO, who had never served in government before assuming his current job, Tillerson has had public and private differences with Trump over key national security issues. U.S. officials say three U.S. Army Special Operations commandos were killed and two others were wounded when they came under fire in southwest Niger. The commandos, who were Green Berets, were likely attacked yesterday by al-Qaeda. The nominations for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's class of 2018 are in, and the list includes Radiohead, Rage Against the Machine, Bon Jovi, Depeche Mode, Judas Priest, The Cars, Dire Straits, Eurythmics, J. Giles Band, LL Cool J, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, and Nina Simone. The top vote getters will be announced in December and inducted in April. To be eligible for this year's ballot, each nominee's first single or album had to have been released in 1992 or earlier.
I continue my campaign against The Cars.
Why?
Yeah, one time they were my favorite band. Then I saw them in concert, and they were just the worst ever.
Yeah, that
just
happens.
Just stood around for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
I thought, geez, I could have listened to this on the radio.
I saw Stevie Nicks the day before she went into rehab for cocaine. She was just absolutely horrendous.
Oh, really?
It was so disappointing.
Oh, that's disappointing to hear. And I had a teammate of mine in college who used to use Judas Priest as his curse word.
Okay.
If things didn't go well, he'd yell, Judas Priest.
Yeah.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Another hero has emerged from the massacre in Las Vegas. The internet has tracked down a guy simply known as the Hero in the Red Hat. In the chaos of the event, they never got his name until now. Many concertgoers didn't have time to stop and thank Anthony Chavez, who lifted them over a barrier and led them to safety in a hail of gunfire. Larry Rorick wrote on Facebook that our wives got over the gate and under the stage to relative safety. He said Mr. Chavez didn't follow the women after tossing them over the gate because in the chaos he couldn't find his own girlfriend. CBS News says Mr. Chavez rallied those around him, giving them a boost over the barrier before hopping in himself. He then ran across the street, encouraging those who were too tired or injured to continue following him. For an hour, Mr. Chavez, an IT technician, stood in the middle of the street, directing people where to go. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.